Hi there, it's Simon and Neil from Tech Enthusiast. We're at WIDE 2015. We're just going to have a bit of a chat about some of our favourite talks from the first day.
Well, I think we've both had the same speakers, our favourite talk, and perhaps never show how human spirit can rise above and be more impressive than the technology you see, no matter how sci-fi.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of the talks that wasn't particularly focused on technology at all, and it was an Indian lady called Aruna Masinha. Was the world's first female amputee to climb Everest.
But that, to me, that wasn't even the impressive part of the story.
It wasn't.
That is impressive.
That's ridiculously impressive.
So super, super impressive.
But that's not the bit that got you.
No. She was detailing exactly how she became an amputee.
And just to say as well, this was the first time she's told this story in English. She's only
It's the first time she's ever been to London as well.
Yeah.
And the conference scene there is super hectic.
Yeah.
A lot of people. Really intimidating place to sit. But to be your first time you ever speak in English.
Exactly. So she's told this she's told this story numerous times, but she's always done it in Hindi. For her to do it, and she actually said at the beginning, "This is my second Everest," because this is the first time I've delivered this in English. And yeah, she was a phenomenal woman.
So the way she became an amputee, I don't think I can do the story justice, so I really cut it short to get to the point. But she was on a train, and some thieves
tried to take her gold chain.
Yeah, and when she fought, they picked her up and threw her off the train.
Yeah.
Into an oncoming train.
Yes.
Which then ended up detaching her leg. I'm not sure which leg it was.
It was her, I believe it was her right leg.
Right leg, below the knee?
Below the knee.
Below the knee. And then, she damaged her arm as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she broke her elbow.
Yeah, she broke her elbow, and this happened around 1 a.m. in the morning. And she laid on this track, screaming for help, until 6:30 a.m.
Which is just crazy.
Yeah, and then it gets crazier. Gets to the hospital. And she arrives there, and her leg is still attached. It's not fully being amputated at this point. And then the doctors say they've got no oxygen, no blood, and no anaesthetic. And she says to cut it off.
Yeah.
She took the decision to have
it. Just do it.
Oh, my God.
No pain relief, just do it.
And then laying in her bed, because then the news reports as well.
Yeah, this was insane.
Yeah, the news reports then stated that she tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
She didn't actually have a ticket for the train. And yeah, seemed to really trash her in the media, which was horrendous.
And the reason she got so much media coverage is because she was actually a national, was it volleyball?
Volleyball,
player?
Yeah.
She was a national volleyball player. So there was a picture of her on screen where she was in the back of an ambulance, and there was like people with cameras at the window trying to take photographs of her while she was in the ambulance, because obviously she was a little bit of a big deal.
Yeah, and well, while in a sort of hospital where she decided she was going to climb Everest.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she got out, she spent 2 years non-stop solid training.
Yeah. She said she didn't break for holidays. She didn't break. She had every day, 7 days a week.
It looks like she was really messing up the body because she wasn't even allowing her body to heal.
Yeah.
She was really pushing. But no, she made it. Phenomenal story.
Yeah.
Incredible lady.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
But then there was also some interesting technology on show, and one of the most interesting talks was the lady from MIT.
Oh yeah, that was really, really good.
Oh, what was her name?
I'm trying to find her name now.
But what she was demonstrating was engineering clothes to react to different situations.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even just that. She chose to demonstrate in clothes, but the technology she created seemed to be able to be applied to anything.
Yeah.
It was incredible technology. It was basically using was it bacteria or fungi?
It was bacteria.
Bacteria. And this bacteria expands and retracts depending on humidity levels.
Yeah.
So that she demonstrated it with a New Balance running top.
Yeah.
That when you sweat, the back of the top opens up. You said it looked like scales, didn't you?
Yeah, it was basically, there was an arrangement, because again, they showed a video that showed like heat maps and sweat maps of the body. So in those zones, which were like down the centre of the back and across the shoulders mainly, there were vents that opened. And they were, imagine like a square, and then when you, if you folded the square in half, so that's how the vent opened to one side. So when they were open, it looked like, if you looked from the side, it looked like scales on the back of a dinosaur or something. But yeah, it was just a really, really interesting
idea. It seemed like a massive jump from sports clothing of the past that just has increased wicking.
Yeah.
To now, oh no, we're just going to create vents as you go.
Yeah.
And it depends on your body. The vents will only open when you need them to.
Yeah.
Because I've actually worn running clothes before that does have vents.
Yeah.
But it isn't like it's open or closed. Yeah. It's just, it's a vent.
Yeah.
It's open. So yeah, that seemed like a real jump forward and fantastic demonstration on stage. Very, very impressed by it.
Yeah.
Did you find, manage to find a name?
I believe her name, and if I've got it wrong, I apologise, is Lining Yao.
Yes, because she's from Mongolia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really, really cool. There was so many good talks, things that I wasn't expecting to be interested by that I just found really, really interesting. Yeah.
Oh, the guy from IT, this was a bit lost on me.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to have to describe this one, because this is very visual.
It was a guy from MIT called Hiroshi Ishii, and Lining Yao was also from MIT. It was an entire section. Yeah, same lab. Was it Media Lab?
Yeah, but I think she's like in Bio Lab. But yeah. It's all part of the same thing,
yeah.
I think.
But this guy, he was talking about it for quite some time, but then the final thing that he showed you was like, it was a surface that he described as being covered in pixels. So it was squares that could raise and lower dependent on need. And it could be done where it was interacting live with you. So there was a demonstration where he brushed his hand across them without touching them. And it kind of followed the wave, like the squares raised and lowered in a wave to imitate the motion that he'd made. And there was another demonstration where a guy raised his hands under these sensors, and there was a red ball on the surface, so he kind of cupped the ball, but obviously it wasn't him touching it, and then he moved his hands around and the ball stayed within the artificial cup that was mimicking what his hands were doing. And then they showed some really, really interesting uses for it, and they were obviously just playing with it and having a bit of fun. But there was one demonstration where two guys were playing cards against each other, and they got five cards face down in front of them, and then basically the table flipped the cards for them, so the five cards just flipped in a wave by themselves seemingly, and then there was a pot of chips in the middle, gambling chips in the middle, and the guy who had won that hand, the chips slid across into like the one wall of the pot disappeared.
Yeah.
And then the wall seemingly slid, obviously it's the different squares raising and lowering to make it seem that way, and then slid into his pot, and it just looked phenomenal.
Was it actually real, or was it all CGI?
No, it was actually real.
Because when you describe it, it sounds CGI, doesn't it?
It's difficult to explain, it really, really is, but
we're going to have to put a video link.
Yeah.
The way it sort of built it was, there's two forms of design, physical and dynamic.
Yeah.
The dynamic is pixels on a screen, you can do really interesting things. Yeah. So then the entire idea, wasn't it, was to try and make dynamic design in 3D real space. And that's how this idea of creating pixels that moved.
Yeah, and one of the other demonstrations was sort of you having a dynamic workspace that could have user profiles. So a woman walked up to it with an iPad, and the pixels lifted into such a way that it created a stand for her iPad. And she got, like, there were some other pixels that formed in order for a book to kind of stand up at a 45-degree angle.
It'd be impressive, because obviously you're quite tall.
Yes.
So in your office, we're talking way, way in the future, aren't we?
Yeah.
When you went to the desk raised.
Yeah.
And then when someone else went to the desk lowered to the appropriate height. So you can see if that technology gets to the point where it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's commoditized. It's everywhere. Everything you own.
Yeah.
Can be tailored and personalized to your custom use scenario.
It would be crazy.
You go to these events and it really does see sci-fi, because everything we were shown on stage.
Yeah.
Didn't seem real. it seemed
yeah
way too in the distant future, but some of them actually had working demos. It yeah. wasn't just, yeah, we think we could do this in 10 years' time. Like, look, we can do it. Here it is. Here's the demonstration
yeah.
on stage. Because the gentleman who did the, oh, what's it called? The infrared...
The molecular sensor.
The molecular infrared sensor.
I was just thinking about that myself. He's a guy called Drew Sharon.
Yeah, live demo on stage, and you can put anything under the sensor and it tells you its chemical composition.
Yeah, it was an infrared spectrometer.
That's it. And you can buy this now on Kickstarter. No, stop, beyond Kickstarter now,
it's beyond it? Kickstarter, yeah. It was one of, I think it said it was one of the top 8 most successful
yeah.
Kickstarters of all time.
But it works because it demoed it live on stage. It put a Viagra tablet
yeah.
on this reader to prove that it was real Viagra.
Yeah, because he said it was one of the most commonly imitated drugs on the market. Yeah. But this could tell you the chemical composition and tell you that it was definitely Viagra.
Yeah, so for once you actually know what you're taking, which,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's a giant step forward. I think there's a lot of use cases
definitely.
For that.
And the device itself was a little bit larger than a box of matches.
Yeah.
And that's on sale now. You can go and buy that and you can literally scan any object and it will tell you what it is, what it's made of, which is just unbelievably ridiculous. But he's currently got a prototype for one that is small enough to fit into a phone. So the sensor would just be in your phone.
Yeah, so it's built into every mobile device, basically.
Which would just be insane. Absolutely
That
insane.
Would actually have fantastic accessibility benefits.
Yeah.
Because I could hold up an orange
and it go, it was an orange.
It's an orange.
Yeah.
I could hold up any objects in existence.
Yeah.
And this device would go, it's this.
Yeah.
That... The guy we're talking to from Give Vision, go and talk to him.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the thing, yeah. They were doing similar things, but in very, very yeah. different ways.
We'll have to cover that in another section.
Yeah. But I think the closing speaker was a bit of a highlight as well for me.
Oh, I think what it demonstrated is there's, at conferences like this, there's phenomenal speakers.
Yeah.
And there's phenomenal products.
Yeah.
And only rarely do those two cross.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's perfection.
Yeah.
Because there were some great products with yes. not great speakers.
Yeah.
But the lady who finished was a fantastic speaker.
Yeah. She's called Helen Keane. She's done some Radio 4 shows and things, and she described herself as a stand-up scientist, so she does do stand-up comedy, so that's why she was really good at speaking in front of a crowd of people.
Yeah, she had the timing down.
Yeah.
And she understood... to sort of, because I try and do this where you change the volume of your voice
yeah
to try and yeah imitate different things
yeah
and, so yeah, and she does that. I like doing that because it's really effective. The audience instantly gets it
yeah
and a lot of people don't do it.
No,
I think it's generally does come from comedians.
Yeah,
they're willing to do
so.
It
it's something you develop, isn't it? But yeah, when we didn't even talk about the Colombian piece.
Oh, wow.
That was a brilliant one.
How did... Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. Right. So, it was... The title of the talk was Taming... They call them guerrillas, don't they?
Guerrilla.
Guerrilla.
Yeah,
guerrilla.
Or as we would know them, guerrillas.
Yeah. So not the apes.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about...
Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla warfare. With marketing, and you think... No.
Yeah.
What? Stop having a laugh.
Yeah. It seemed like a crazy prospect.
But then when he actually detailed it and went through and showed the effects,
yeah,
it was so powerful.
Yeah.
And it really did show the power of marketing. So I'll let you describe what the first campaign they did was.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they were using social media-style campaigns in order to get guerrillas to demobilise and come home to their families. And both of the projects that they did were around Christmas time, so it was emphasising come home for Christmas. But you think about the big social media campaign videos that you see, like the ALS things and like the promo videos for that, or the Coney one, which was really effective, but, you know, questionable. But things like that. So what the first project was, they got, I think it was 7 or 9... trees.
Not very many, I suppose. No. A number of trees.
Yeah, in the jungle, and they absolutely coated them in Christmas lights, like 2,000 Christmas lights, I think they said was on one. And they set it up with a sensor so that when people pass by, and obviously they know that this is an area where gorillas are kind of around, as the sensor would make the lights light up, and then there was a sign that was illuminated by the lights, and the sign said, if Christmas can make it to the jungle, then you can make it home for Christmas. Demobilise this Christmas. And the guy was basically saying, we know that some people saw the sign and the lights, but the amount of people that we spoke to that came to demobilise that said that they hadn't seen the tree, but had been told about it, was crazy.
Yeah, it seems so powerful, so simple.
Yeah.
And it's with all marketing campaigns, the ones that use a story and use emotion are the best. And they are so impactful.
Yeah, and watching the video, you know, it was one of those things where, the reason these social media campaigns are successful is because they tug at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
And I was watching these videos, and I was, you know, my eyes were a little moist, and I could feel that little lump in the back of my throat. But yeah, and then the second one was they got these clear plastic balls with an LED in, and then they took them to the villages that were affected, you know, villages where family members had gone to join the gorillas.
Lost the children to the warfare.
Yeah, and they got them to put notes in, or like small teddy bears, little presents and things like that. And then what they interviewed as well some people who'd been affected by it, and they said, one of the guys said, they use the rivers like roadways. You know, it's how they get about, it's how they get stuff around, it's what they use as roadways. So they got these little plastic balls with the LEDs in and the presents and the notes, and then they floated them down the rivers where all this was going on. And again, there was like a message in saying demobilize this Christmas as well. And come home, and again that was just massively effective. And they like showed it at night where the river was just full of these blue lights floating down the river towards where all the gorillas were.
Yeah, it seems so powerful. They got a large amount of gorillas to demobilize. It did say didn't know
18,000.
Yeah, it did say didn't know whether that could all be attributed to the advertising, but
yeah.
It was powerful, and you could see it absolutely work, because people who were demobilising mentioned that they'd seen these things. And that was one of the reasons they did. But then they brought in the negotiator to show what happens after the demobilised, how to do integration. And that was interesting, because it was about educating these people to get jobs and do things, but then how to integrate them into the community.
Yeah.
So then that was a campaign on helping the community want to welcome them back, identify that these are essentially their children, let's bring them back. And then they had to run projects that benefited the villagers, didn't they? So if you demobilised, you had to come back, you had to get involved in like building a school or a park and things like this. So it seemed a real all-encompassing project. But the interesting point was when he said that it's cheaper than putting them in jail.
Well, I think that was the thing as well, and it was such a progressive approach, not only from the social media kind of side of it, the marketing side of it, and how they incorporated that, but just the very fact that they were like, these people are victims too. These people are as much prisoners as the people that they are imprisoning.
Yeah.
Because once they're in, and most of them are getting in because, you know, they need the work, they need the money or whatever, you don't get out. It's really ridiculously difficult for them to get out, and they may get into it, regret it, but then that's it. They're stuffed, they're there, and there's nothing they can do about it. So just being able as a community, as a country, to say to those people, we're not going to treat you like criminals, is a massive, massive thing.
It definitely seemed like a very progressive, impressive strategy.
Yeah.
It really did. Some phenomenal people involved.
Yeah.
And I believe it's at the tipping point now where there isn't enough gorillas versus the police and army or something. So it's gone beyond the tipping point.
Yeah, it's got to a point now where and it's been going on for a couple of years now, that the gorillas have actually gone, this is a battle that nobody can win.
Yeah, let's negotiate.
Maybe we should negotiate.
So it's so powerful. And you can't imagine that marketing...
Yeah.
Had a hand in that. It's crazy. We do imagine that all these things are solved by force.
Yeah.
You give more soldiers, more guns. Go in there, you sort it.
Yeah.
But no, the more progressive approach, it's definitely seemed
the right approach. It got the job done. It was really effective. And like I said, well, like you said, it's playing on the emotion. It's making people realise that there's something more out there and making them realise that they're just a small part in a big picture.
Yeah, but overall, fantastic day of speakers.
Yeah, really, really impressive. Can't wait for day two.
Looking forward to day two.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll speak to you later.
Because what we can do is we can just...
It's still recording.